From the nation's capital, this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Ladies and gentlemen, the program today is on National Recovery Month, and we have three individuals who really do know their stuff in terms of National Recovery Month. We have Kevin Moore, a supervisory treatment specialist for my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, Renee Singleton, who's also a treatment specialist here at CSOSA, and we have Ronald Smith. He is a graduate of the Secure Residential Treatment Program. He's been out of that program and for about 1 year, and he's doing wonderfully. We're here to discuss National Recovery Month, and I do want to remind everybody that there are 700,000 people who leave the prison systems all throughout the United States and the federal system every single year. 80 to 90% of them have substance abuse histories. The question is, if they got the treatment, if they got the, whether it's mental health treatment or substance abuse treatment while in prison, and if they got the mental health and substance abuse treatment out in the community, how much crime could we reduce? How much money can we save taxpayers? And how many victimizations could we save victims of crime? So all those questions are going to go over to Kevin Moore, again, supervisory treatment specialist Renee Singleton, and Ronald Smith. To all three of you, welcome to D.C. Public Safety.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
All right, Kevin, you're going to start off first. National Recovery Month is put on by SAMHSA, correct?
That's correct.
And explain to me what SAMHSA is.
SAMHSA is a federal agency responsible for various treatment initiatives, establishing national protocols and standards for treatment providers, and to ensure that there are services in the community to assist with eradicating the use of illicit substances.
Mm-hmm. And now, they're the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I can never get that right. I've been receiving SAMHSA materials for the last 25 years, and I always screw up the acronym. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I think they're under the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, U.S. Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. So every month, every year they do Recovery Month. It's now into its 23rd year, and supposedly it highlights individuals who have reclaimed their lives and are now living happy and healthy lives in terms of long-term recovery. But this issue of substance abuse, this issue of mental health treatment, substance abuse treatment, it's not the easiest sell considering the fact that there are budget reductions all over the country. I mean, convincing individuals that treatment is in their best interest, in society's best interest, in the best interest of the person caught up in the criminal justice system, sometimes that can be a tough sell.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as you said in your opening, you know, we have 700,000 individuals returning to the communities each year. And you know, one of the things that we feel here at CSOSA is that if we give folks an opportunity at treatment services, then we are providing opportunities to these folks to reclaim their lives, but more importantly, to reduce the possibility of continued criminal lifestyles.
Right, but this is a national effort. That's one of the things that I want to make in the first issue I want to make in the program. We celebrate this concept of recovery, not just here at CSOSA, but all throughout the United States, all throughout the territories. The whole idea is to get people to understand that recovery is possible and recovery is in society's best interest.
Absolutely. And with this year's campaign, you know, we just want to reemphasize that prevention works, treatment is effective, and people can and do recover, providing they are given the opportunity to the services that are out there.
Now, you're a supervisory treatment specialist, which means that you head up a team of people providing treatment services. This is probably the most difficult job on the face of the earth. I've done this, by the way. I ran group in a prison system. I did jail or job corps, where the judge said, go to jail or Joe, go to job corps. And I was also a gang counselor in the streets of the city of Baltimore. I know how tough this is to get people off of substances. And so you head up a team of people who face this issue every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a team of a staff who are dedicated to working with individuals who some are motivated, some aren't motivated, but they, meaning the treatment specialists, do what they can using their clinical skills to guide our clients to entering into treatment and to give them that opportunity to reclaim their lives, deal with their addiction, deal with their mental health issues.
And, you know, interesting enough, ladies and gentlemen, we have Renee Singleton, who is a treatment specialist for my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Renee, we supervise 16,000 offenders on any given day, 24,000 offenders in any given year. 80 to 90% have histories of substance abuse, so this is a tough task.
It is an extremely tough task. That's why I think it's one of the great things is that CSOSA offers so many different treatment options for our offenders. Not only do they have the opportunity to participate in treatment services in outpatient treatment centers, they can also go to our reentry and sanction center and be assessed and be introduced to some evidence-based treatment practices and be placed with within a residential treatment placement. And we also have our secure residential treatment program, which is inside the institution, as well as our new aftercare and relapse prevention groups.
One of the things that I want to crow about, because it's my agency, and I guess I'm paid to promote my agency, but whether I'm paid or not, I say this to everybody. We're an evidence-based agency. We're a best practices agency. So we look at the guidance given to us by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. We look for them to tell us what the state-of-the-art is, and we apply that state-of-the-art here at CSOSA. What we do is we really figure out who that person is through a battery or a series of tests, and we match that person to the right treatment, correct?
Correct. We use the Addiction Severity Index to conduct assessments. We also use a risk assessment on the supervision side, which looks at violence, weapons, and sex, their substance use history, revocation history. So it takes into consideration all of those factors. And within some of the treatment programs, there are different assessments that are also used to gauge a person's response to treatment.
Because I think that that's unusual. In my experience, in my 42 years within the criminal justice system, that's how old I am, I've seen the vast majority of treatment programs out there and other criminal justice agencies, and they're cookie cutter. They just pile a bunch of people under supervision into a program. We create specialized programs for that individual offender, that person under supervision. I think that's what makes us unique. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to have treatment services that are going to address the client's needs, and to apply a cookie-cutter approach is not going to actually address that individual client. So if you take a program that's going to meet the client where he's at, it's evidence-based, and help him to look at his thinking errors, cognitive distortions, substance use history, and factors as along with that, then that will help the client be successful not only in treatment recovery, but also on supervision.
The other unique thing is that we have money for about 25% of our population. Most parole and probation agencies in this country, we don't have a dime. They don't have a dime towards treatment. They just basically refer to the local treatment services provider. Now, what we do is focus on what the high-risk offenders, saving that money, that 25% for the people who pose an obvious risk to public safety or have histories of substance abuse, severe histories.
Yes, the auto screener takes the risk assessment. So you want to take that risk assessment because we want to look at the overall public safety.
Right.
So in terms of substance use, you want to look at the risk, potential risk for public safety, as well as provide substance abuse treatment for an offender who's in need.
Okay. And we have an array of programs, anywhere from detox to residential to 28-day stay in terms of an assessment center that we built. And then they go into treatment design specifically for them, correct? And is that correct?
That is right. I believe it's 45 days for the women and 28 days for the men.
Okay. And we have an array of other programs here at CSOS in terms of anger management, educational assistance, vocational assistance. So we try to target the high-risk offender, the offender who poses an obvious risk to public safety, and we try to target our services, a wide array of services, to that person.
That's correct. There is an anger management program, which is also offered through CIT, and there's DVIP. There are Reentry and Sanction Center, which is the 28-day
right.
Assessment center, or 45 days for men. VOTE, which offers educational services and vocational placement services. Correct. You have the faith-based initiative, which also provides services.
Thanks for bringing that up.
And offers training sessions for our offenders.
Because that's a key issue. I mean, we have 100 faith institutions in Washington, D.C., and I think the total number last time I looked was 500 people under supervision have gone through the faith-based program. I mean, that's wonderful, the idea. Kevin, did you want to take this? That's wonderful, the idea that you come out of treatment and you're matched with the mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to add that, you know, because we only have appropriations for 25%, it's very important that we use our faith-based partners to help us deal with the issues that our clients face, whether it's addiction or mental health. And that mentoring component is very significant in helping the client sustain his productive path as he or she tackles their recovery.
And we also, the ones that fall outside of the high risk, we refer over to APRA, which is the Washington, D.C.'s organization to provide substance abuse treatment. And we also rely upon the faith-based community. Sometimes they provide treatment. And there's Salvation Army. There's the Veterans Administration. There's all sorts of other places that we can refer other people to that don't fall into that category of high-risk offender. Wait a minute. Just let me answer that question, and we're going to get right over to you in a second, Ronald.
All right.
So is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Ronald.
Hello?
I've been looking forward to talking to you.
How you doing?
You know, get closer to that mic, Ronald. You're right on top of that mic. You know, the idea that you and I were talking before the program, you've had quite a drug problem from a fairly early age, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I was 14 years old, and I was boxing. And then I got on marijuana. I started with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated from PCP to heroin.
Right. Were you involved in criminal activity all throughout that time?
Yes.
All right.
To support my habit.
Right.
And what y'all was saying about the programs that Washington, D.C. have, See Social, when I was in the federal system, them guys, like, they go home to Philadelphia and New York and Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina. They don't have the programs that the residents of Washington, D.C. have.
Right.
And it's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
I do want to explain in terms of the federal prison concept that since we had a change in Washington, D.C. in August of 2000, all people, D.C. offenders, not just necessarily federal offenders, but all D.C. code offenders now go to federal prison. So for somebody listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I want to be sure that they understand your reference to federal prison.
Yeah, because they had closed Lawton down.
Right.
And now they send us to federal institutions.
Well, you know, Ronald, look, you're a success. And thank God you're a success. It makes the rest of us in the criminal justice system celebrate the fact that you're a success. But today you're representing all the different people caught up in the criminal justice system who have been able to get by drugs. Now, you spent how long in your graduate of the Secure Residential Treatment Program? That was a jail-based program, correct?
Yes, it's a six-month program.
Okay. So you graduated from that, and why did you go into drug treatment?
Why? Because I got tired of being homelessness, and my treatment specialist, she helped me point out my weaknesses.
Right.
As far as being homeless.
Right.
So with that, I learned I already knew what she was teaching me,
right?
But I just wasn't using it, and when I was out there on drugs, drinking alcohol.
Before the program, you said you weren't ready before, and you have to be ready. Anybody entering these sort of programs needs to be ready to make a change, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
That's automatic, because if you don't want it, then you're gonna have reservations.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be in jail, thinking about a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have reservations, then it's not going to work.
If we had sufficient money, if we had now, like in CSOSA, we can treat 25%. We refer people to other organizations in terms of drug treatment and mental health treatment and other services, and it's employment services as well. We have partners. Without partners, we can't exist. But if we had not 25%, but 35%, 45%, if every person who had a drug history or mental health history, who were caught up in the criminal justice system, if they had services for that in prison and when they got out in the community, would it substantially reduce crime?
Yes, it would. Because you building your foundation while you incarcerated. So when you come home, you still got that motivation.
Right.
And when you had that motivation, you can't be stopped. So every day that I wake up, I thank God for waking me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go on with my day. Every Monday, I call my treatment specialist to check in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in the program no more, but I still check in.
Right.
And she part of my support system.
Right.
And my support system is awesome right now.
Right.
And I stay in contact with these people every day.
That's cool.
Every week.
That's cool. That's cool. But relapse prevention is a big part of the SAMHSA program, part of the CSOSA program. But ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to reintroduce everybody one more time. We're halfway through the program. Kevin Moore, Supervisory Treatment Specialist for my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We're a federal parole and probation agency providing services here in the nation's capital. Renee Singleton, she's a treatment specialist. And Ronald Smith is a proud graduate of one of our programs, still under supervision. He's been out for 1 year, and he's working and doing fine. Let me go back to you, Ronald, please.
And 22 months clean.
And 22 months clean.
Yes.
That is so important.
Yeah, it's very important.
How difficult was it to kick drugs? I mean, you know, people tell me it is one of the most difficult things in the world to kick both drugs and to kick the corner.
It was mental.
Right.
It's mental. But I know that I'm addicted to the lifestyle.
Right.
So
you're not just addicted to drugs, you're addicted to the lifestyle.
Lifestyle too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I stay away from the lifestyle.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I spend time with family, and I have a son, and I have a little bouncing little grandson that's a month.
Congratulations.
So, you know, I'm busy.
And now you're a meaningful part of the lives of your children and your grandchildren instead of being this person who floats in and out of their lives because they're using drugs.
Yes. And my son told me when I came home, he said, Dad, when are you going to stop going to jail?
Yep.
I had to, you know, think about that.
If treatment wasn't available to you, where would you be today?
Now, if I didn't take my treatment seriously,
yes,
I'd be back in jail or dead.
In jail or dead or still committing crime?
Yes.
Still using drugs?
Yes.
And, you know, Kevin, I'm going to go over to you for a second in terms of this larger issue. Again, it is the SAMHSA, which is, under Health and Human Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. They're setting up National Recovery Month. We're participating in it as we always do. We feel very strongly about this issue because, you know, talking to Ronald, if these programs weren't available, people would still be committing crime. People would still be victimizing people. And it would still be costing taxpayers literally hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Absolutely. You know, Mr. Sipes, it costs more to incarcerate an individual than to treat the person for their addiction. And, you know, I'm thankful that this initiative has been in existence for 23 years, but I'm more thankful that CSOSA has embraced Recovery Month and that we are providing various activities to acknowledge individuals who are in recovery. And, you know, SAMHSA, about 2 years ago, redefine what recovery means. And simply put, they states that recovery is a process through which individuals improve their health and well-being,
mm-hmm.
that they live a self-directed life,
mm-hmm.
and that they attempt to maximize, or they strive to maximize, their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And just listen to what Ronald is saying.
Right.
It sounds like he is taking advantage of that, and I'm glad that C. Sosa was a part of providing that opportunity for him.
And, you know, all of us in this room, we've talked literally throughout our careers, thousands of people who have crossed the line, who have crossed the bridge. They're now taxpayers. They're not tax burdens. They're now supporting their kids. They're now, you know, doing the right thing. They're full members of their community. But they were none of this until they got mental health treatment, until they got substance abuse treatment. Renee, you want to take a shot at that?
Yes. I think Mr. Smith is a prime example of how treatment works in regards to just maintaining his recovery and being in compliance with supervision.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been a change in how he responded to supervision prior to treatment and now, and
right.
he can best attest to that in regards to being on intensive, maximum, and now minimum supervision.
Right. He's come down. He's worked his way down the chain in terms of how intensely we supervise him.
That's correct. And that's not also, not just in regards to supervision, but in regards to drug testing as well. So you may start off at a higher level of drug testing because of your substance use history, and then work down to spot testing and not being required to drug test as frequently. Also, Mr. Smith has been quite modest. He's taken advantage of a lot of services that C. Sosa offers.
Okay.
And all of those services have helped him be successful on supervision and in the community. He's now a taxpayer. He maintains his own house, or he's maintaining housing, stable housing. He's not in violation in supervision. So he is a prime example of how treatment works.
Right. He's everything we want him to be. He's everything society wants him to be.
Now that he's successful.
And congratulations go out to all of you. Okay. So why is it so daggone difficult to find money for substance abuse treatment programs? You know, the last survey that I saw, that in prison now, not in under community supervision, but in prison, that 80 to 90% of people in prison have histories of substance abuse. 10% are getting treatment. Now, I've seen other surveys that said 13%. I've seen other surveys that said 16%. It's a small number that get treatment. Okay, why do we have this dichotomy? If we have individuals who have histories of mental health issues, substance abuse issues, then why aren't we treating them in the prison system? What's going on? Why is it a matter of convincing society that this is something that we need to do? We need to give up the money? Any one of you can answer that question.
Well, I take a shot at it, Mr. Sipes. And, you know, within the criminal justice systems, you know, we go through various shifts. You know, every decade or so, the philosophy changes. One, we go from the rehabilitative concept to the punitive punishment concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we are moving back towards the rehabilitation. We're looking at evidence-based practices.
Right.
And so we are educating folks more. But, you know, substance abuse and mental health, you know, still poses a stigma to folks. And the community has a difficult time of embracing that. I think that, you know, though we celebrate National Recovery Month every September for the past 23 years, we need to have a better or more established campaign throughout the year to promote the successes of folks who have recovered from substances and mental health disorders.
Is it because people just hear bad news about people under supervision and just don't hear the good news? I mean, what Ronald has done is phenomenal. I mean, I'm looking at an article right now that was written up for, by somebody in terms of his transitional housing, Reverend Deborah Thomas Campbell, and who just absolutely is glowing in terms of Ronald's recovery. But as he says, if he didn't have the treatment programs there or the other programs there, he may be dead. He may be in prison. He may be back doing drugs. He may be back doing crime. And additional victims are going to have to suffer through those consequences. They don't have to suffer through it now because he's sitting by our microphones clean and sober. For how many years?
a year and 8 months.
That's a long time, Ronald. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what do you say to the larger society? What message do you give to people who are saying, look, Leonard, you know, we can't fund our schools, we can't fund programs for our elderly, we got 10 tons of people out of work, you know, and you're now telling me to give more money to substance abuse and mental health treatment programs. What do you say to that person? Closer to the mic.
I would tell them to, okay, I'm part of the community.
Yeah.
And I help mess it up so you can help straighten it up. And then be a mentor to the kids, because the generation coming up now, they need some mentoring.
Yeah, they do.
And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do, because I used to box.
Right.
And drugs, alcohol, destroyed my career.
Right.
Because I wanted to go into the Marines.
Right.
And box in the Olympics. But that dream was shattered. And I just want to, I want to give back.
Right.
Because same thing with the NA and the AA. You learn it, and then you give it back.
Right.
So that's my philosophy.
But what people are listening more from you than from the three of us sitting in this studio right now, they're saying, okay, this is possible. If I give more money, if I support more treatment, either mental health treatment, substance abuse treatment, vocational treatment, if I support this, I'm creating a safer society. Is that right or wrong?
That's right, because the kids can go out and play. People can go to the store without being robbed.
Right.
I mean, you know, back in the day, D.C. used to be a nice town. But mm-hmm. now you got to lock your door. Back in the day, you used to, have your door unlocked.
Right.
But now you got to lock it.
Right.
So times have changed, you know.
And we've got to change with those times.
Right.
And provide the substance abuse and treatment services necessary. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Sipes, you know, it's a windfall if we invest more in treatment. You know, some of the society benefits would include, you know, increased productivity of these individuals. As we know, Ronald now is working. He's a taxpayer.
Right.
You know,
he's paying our salaries. Thank you, Ronald.
Yeah. Thank you, Ronald.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, with treatment, you know, we minimize premature deaths. As Ronald said, if he were to continue on this path of destruction, he would either be incarcerated or dead. And also the criminal activity. You know, we reduce the crimes committed in our community, and also we reduce the substance abuse related illness. You know, as we prepare for Recovery Month, you know, we uncovered some staggering stats, and one of the things that stood out to me is that 40% of all the emergency room visits are substance abuse related here in the District
right.
of Columbia.
So if we're talking about reducing the cost of medical care, that would be an obvious benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In addition to that, what was even more staggering is that 50% of all the vehicular incidents here in the District of Columbia are related to substance use.
Yes.
Yeah. So, again, you know, by investing in treatment and helping folks recover, we minimize these instances of increased health care, premature death. Yeah.
Renee, I mean, you're going to have the final word in this program. What does the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, their guidance, their research, their promotion of a state of the art, what does it mean to us as treatment providers?
Definitely provides us with evidence-based treatment approaches so we can best assist our clients with being successful in recovery. It also offers us a lot of research and information to train ourselves so we can become more efficient treatment specialists and counselors for our clients.
And the bottom line is they give us the guidance we need, and we implement that guidance.
Correct. We do implement the guidance. We use them as a great resource. They provide trainings, information, and so we use them to assist us with our work.
Renee, you've got the final word. Ladies and gentlemen, I really do appreciate you listening to our program on National Recovery Month and how it applies to my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Our guests today have been Kevin Moore, Supervisory Treatment Specialist with CSOSA, Renee Singleton, a Treatment Specialist again with CSOSA, and Ronald Smith, who I now like an awful lot, who is a very successful person who is now working at taxpayer, proud grandfather and father, and Ronald, again, congratulations on your recovery.
Thank you. Ladies
and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. We appreciate your criticisms and comments. We really do. Thank you for listening. Our website is www.csosa.gov, www.csosa.gov. Please have yourselves a very pleasant day.